village called Dudley.
Dudley! Shouts of joy from Sue there, because yes, yeah. As Katie Grimason would say if she's here and she's listening to this, hello Katie, but we have got Birmingham represented with our Black Country ferret master.
We have! And the little man's from Dudley.
How he said Dudley. Dudley. I'll get the accent right one day, I swear.
Don't try with Birmingham, Jess. God knows what could actually happen in that sort of things. But we'll get a little flavour of what he's actually doing. Hopefully we'll speak to him later. Curiously, his son doesn't sound at all like him.
No. I know that. Yeah, it's curious.
Those were the furnaces.
Maybe he's just an actor putting it on.
Maybe. We'll have to investigate.
Stuff like that. And the only way that blokes could get a bit of oxygen into their lungs was to go out into the countryside. And if any of you know where the Black Country is, we ain't that far away from the countryside. And we used to go out there with our dogs. So some of the world's best dog men come from the Black Country.
We have returned to the press area here at Countryside Live, and Jessica's back with us and Sue's back with us, and of course, most importantly, we've got the Chief Executive Officer for the Yorkshire Agricultural Society. That's Nigel Pulling. Nigel, good to see you as ever.
Thank you.
All right, over to you, Jessica. You know, your first ever experience of the Yorkshire Harrogate Showground. This is presumably what you came over from New Zealand for.
Yes, just for this show. It's been a really wonderful experience, and everything's so well presented, and just the acts are amazing. It's such a variety. Just wondering, how long has it taken you to prepare for this show?
Well, this is the 13th show, and about a week of preparation time. Some of the marquees have been up slightly longer, but really it's in the last week it all comes together. And then it'll all disappear in a couple of days' time, so make the most of it while it's on.
Yeah, that must be quite hectic then for you.
Yes, we employ some temporary people, and obviously there's huge amounts of contractors and things who come and set up, so it's not just sort of our team. We've got all the people, the exhibitors. I mean, there's people from Wales bringing their cattle, and you know, so it's a huge sort of team effort, really.
Yeah. And so what would you find would be the most rewarding thing for you, for yourself?
I think it's just, it's a great day for the family, but it just gives us another chance to get the message across of how important farming and the countryside is and the production of food. And so people know a bit more about what goes into the things that are on their plate. So that's really what it's, the point underneath it is.
That's wonderful. I think they need a lot of education in this area also.
Oh, there we are, you see. Sorry, just the shock of all sorts of things there. Sue, you were here, obviously, in the summer with the Great Yorkshire Show. This is Countryside Live. Thoughts and messages for Nigel?
It was, yeah. There's been a similar thing over at the Lincolnshire Showground, and they're very much into a state of flux. It's quite a big
they're
facility.
Borrowing the idea, here. Nigel. Countryside Links, it's nothing more than Countryside Live for Easter.
Very, very flattering.
You've got a huge facility here, rather like they have, and of course you can't really have it sitting dormant doing nothing. I note that you've got a lot of development here on the site. Where are you looking to take the showground in the future?
Yes, well, the development you talk about is a £10 million project. We've knocked a big exhibition hall down, and we're putting a big new shiny one up, which is 20% bigger. So when you come to the Great Yorkshire next year, that'll be full of food probably, and this show as well, we'll be utilising it. So it is all change, but you've got to move and update your facilities to move with the times.
I mean, have you found that because agricultural shows throughout the country find that now they have to work a little bit harder, work a little bit smarter to get the people in. Are you finding that's part of your plan to do so?
Absolutely, and I think that most businesses are having to do that. I mean, an awful lot of farmers have to work harder and harder to produce it, to profits as they did and develop the business, because unless you make some money you can't invest in your facilities, and clearly we're putting a lot into the showground, and we want it to be used, and we want it to promote our messages.
Well, we've had a really fantastic time. Certainly my little girl Bridget, there's an awful lot of things to do for the little ones and adults alike. And there's a great range of things from the food, and you've still got the animals here, which is great to see. And as well, in the food halls, I was delighted to see that you've got stalls with the links between the food and where it comes from.
Really impressed with the decapitated pig's heads that we saw.
I was, yes, indeed. The ladies in pigs.
Extraordinary. And of course, Nigel, Sue had the joy in the summer of not only meeting Judy Thompson, Lady Emma Ingleby, etc., but also had a few words with Prince Charles, I believe. Share that thought?
I did, and he liked my hat in homage to it. I am also wearing it today.
Yeah. So the patron is still being sort of acknowledged there.
Very good. I mean, yes, that's one of the features. When Prince Charles comes, he meets an awful lot of people. It's very accessible, and it works really, really well. And so it was one of the highlights of this show in July.
Jessica, obviously your first trek up to Yorkshire. You're based in the Isle of Man, from New Zealand and so on. You said that so lots of events there, slightly bigger. Would you be looking forward to the Great Yorkshire Show in 2016?
Yes, by the sounds of what you've told me, it sounds amazing. It sounds very, very big and vast with all its stores, and I'm really looking forward to it. Just because from being from New Zealand, I'm used to big AMP shows and the like, so yes.
Yeah, it's like the American sort of thing. I mean, so far we met the South African chap who's looking after the sheep show, that's Warren, and of course Jessica from New Zealand. I just don't want to talk about a Rugby World Cup at all.
No, I
think it's we'll draw a little bit of a veil over that, I'm afraid, and concentrate on Countryside Live.
Well, we're still back with Nigel Pulling because, of course, clearly there are wonderful magical words that you can score great numbers with on Scrabble or indeed possibly Countdown. It's the Apart Hotel. And when I saw the first press release that came through from this point of view, I thought, what's going on? Nigel, share with us the Apart Hotel.
Yes, it's a twist on a normal hotel in the fact that there's kitchen facilities in the room, and it is aimed at people, some people who want to stay longer and have a bit of self-catering rather than having to go out for every single meal. It's a sort of fairly basic facilities as far as a hotel is concerned. There's no conference rooms as such, but we've just submitted for planning permission on the showground, and it'll be complementary to all the events, whether it's the Flower Show, Countryside Live, Great Yorkshire, or the hundreds of other events we have, plus weddings, etc. So we're really looking forward to it. We're hoping it'll open in 2017.
Well, there we are. So it's a look ahead from that point of view. Jessica, the Apart Hotel?
Oh, I think it's a wonderful idea. It's so unique, isn't it? I haven't heard many shows having their own Apart Hotels. It's quite a neat name, actually. Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
Who actually coined the name, Nigel, just out of interest?
Well, it's a group that's based in Leeds, and they've got five or six now, and I think they came up with the idea, and they're opening several in the next few months, and hopefully one here in Harrogate.
And a question which I can appreciate if you turn around and say, I couldn't possibly answer that, but clearly this is the first Countryside Live which has seen the wonderful Charles Mills in the show director's position. How's he coping? He's done very well in his radio stuff so far, it has to be said.
He's fine because, I mean, Charles has got a long history of working with the society. He was a cattle steward, and he's a trustee. So we know him very well. He knows the society and the shows very well. So, yes, he's taken to it like a duck to water, really.
And does Bill still occasionally sort of pop in every so often?
I saw him not that long ago at the Harvest Festival. So, yes, and he's still on the cattle committee. So we haven't lost touch with him altogether. He's still a great supporter of the society.
Dylan Rice is back with us now. Dylan, it's your first ever Countryside Live. You've been fulsome in praise now. We have the Chief Executive Officer here, Nigel Pulling. So would you like to share those thoughts?
Yeah, as I was saying a little earlier on, that I like the space that this offers compared to coming to the Great Yorkshire Show, where it's really difficult to get around everything. Impossible to get around everything, as I would say. And also, this is a lot more intimate, so you can actually get to people and talk to them, and everybody's friendly, and they've got time to do. So I quite like these smaller regular events rather than the big annual event, although I can see
he's from Nottinghamshire, Newark, it's the way they are.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a little bit comparing and contrasting. This is on a weekend, the other one's during the midweek, so different people can come. I've been in the Great Yorkshire, we all say you can't see everything in a day, so that's why don't you come for 2 days. Countryside Live has it more intimate, and you can get round it all in a day, but there's still a lot to see.
Yeah, and it is. It's a great event. I really enjoyed getting there. You can get here, you can get close, you can get in really quickly. Particularly enjoyed the cider. I
noticed that went down well with Dylan. Actually, the cider. I don't know why. It's a different sort of thing. I mean, Nigel, the cider.
Yeah, well, we're here to showcase all different types of produce, and that includes cider.
Exactly. Bridget, what have you thought of your first ever Countryside Live?
Good.
There we are.
And I do like this little corner here, so because we can peep out those little windows and see the things, and we don't have to be pushed
with the general public. You see, this is amazing.
That's right. Favourite bit, Bridget? What's been your favourite bit that you've seen so far? Because we've got lots more to see.
My favourite bit has been the horses, because I like horses a lot.
And what have you been doing? What have you made so far? You've made a few things, haven't you?
I've made a cupcake.
It's just so many things to actually work through that. The juggling, the whole sort of set of things.
And what did you race just before?
I raced a ferret.
And who won?
It was a draw.
So there you are, Nigel. Finally, it's been revealed.
Everyone who was in the race of the skunks got a lollipop after they raced.
As we said, Nigel, what better way to keep sort of not only participants but also press people happy, give them a lollipop.
Yes, and it just shows you the range of things that are on offer. You know, when they just mentioned a few there, and there's an awful lot more to do.
And we're back with the man who's been described as to ferrets what effectively Sir Alex Ferguson used to be to Manchester United. Yes, of course, the legend that is...
the Black Country Mon.
Oh, exactly. For a moment I thought you went West Indian on us, you know, as in Black Country Mon. Where's it going, Mon?
No, it's Black Country Mon. Everything's Mon, damn it.
Well, that makes every sense. Okay, we brought along the rest of the team here, including Bridget, who indeed was one of the participants in the ferret race. You may recognise her. She was wearing the same pink outfit.
She was. I gave her the pink tube as well to match her outfit.
Bridget, what did you think of the ferrets?
They were very nice.
That's it then.
Did you think they were really, really nice, did you?
Yeah.
Were they faster than you, or were you faster than them?
A little bit, a bit slower than me, but nearly faster than me.
But they have got really short legs, haven't they? We've all got short legs in the Black Country.
Sue, my colleague here, had a very perceptive comment, because we have on Siren FM a regular broadcaster called Nick Elliott, who's an ace photographer of rock stars and such like, and does a whole range of things. Sound and Nick's Vision is a show. It's fair to say, Sue, you said Black Country humour.
Yes, definitely. Yes, you and Nick share the same sense of humour. It's very, very funny, as I thought your commentary was inspired.
Thank you. Well, see, where we come from, it's always a Boston loft. Where we at? That's what we say, it's a Boston loft. So.
Well, obviously, being from New Zealand, Jess, you obviously sort of got these whole things, so you'll be an expert in vernacular.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn. But yeah, I was just going to say, with Sue, your presentation was really amazing. You've captivated your audience. Well, almost, but...
Well, we try not to captivate them too much. You know, we keep the ferrets at bay, instead of rounding the people up. But yeah, I tried to get people interested in it. I love it. I'm enthusiastic, and that's where I want people to be and learn all about it. And our second one is totally different to the first one, because next I'll tell you about the history. Romans, Normans, you name it.
Well, Dylan, my colleague here from the University of Lincoln, was going a stage further and said we should arrange an honorary lectureship for you, so actually sort of deal with our other things at the university.
Yeah, it was so captivating. You see, we sometimes have some of the lecturers that stand up and you think...
Dreadful.
How boring. I think you've brought the ferrets in. I think I would concentrate students, really.
Oh, no. I can... I mean, I do schools and things like that, and as I say, I mean, it's just to see their faces and things like that, you know. Yeah. And I just... being from the Black Country, I can talk the iron legs off a donkey. See, we all have that inbred in us. So it's just a case of getting somebody to tell us to shut up.
Well, I'm not going to tell you that, because I'm more interested in the working aspect of ferrets, you see. I've always been trying to persuade my wife to let me have a ferret.
That's true, sir.
It is, and I said, yeah, you can have a ferret if you keep it, because I'm not sticking my fingers in there.
But we've got a lot of rabbits, mm-hmm. and I'm keen to get rid of them. And I don't know, I did go on a... I wouldn't describe it as a course, it was more of a demonstration where they were working, trying to get rabbits. And we spent all day in the rain and got one.
Right, yeah. It's very hit and miss. I mean, you either net or you use dogs or you can shoot over them or whatever you want to do, as long as the ferret's job is to round the rabbits up like a sheepdog rounds up sheep. And that's its job. It's not there to harm the rabbits in any way. And I mean, it dates right back to the Normans, and it hasn't changed in over 1,000 years what we do. No, neither's the weather.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, do you hunt with rabbits? Or
I do farm clearance down by me during the winter, and the farmer has a lot of problems with rabbits. I mean, a rabbit, say a 5-acre field of peas, a warren of rabbits will devastate that in several weeks.
Yeah.
So, and he loses his crop. So we go in there. It's the most efficient way of doing it. As I say, we capture the rabbits in nets, and then it's up to humans what they do with it. It isn't the animal that does it; it's the humans that do it.
So part pet, but a working animal as
they
well.
They are a working animal. Yes, they are a working animal. Yeah.
Jess.
So why ferrets? What is it about them that fascinates you so much?
I think they're highly intelligent. You can teach them tricks and things like that, so it's like a dog. So that's the main thing. Also, they've evolved or designed, whatever you want to say, and they just fascinate me. They're long and thin, and they work out things. You can see them whenever you take them out. They think about things and they work it out. And I've never had the same ferret ever. Everyone has an individual personality.
Yeah, I think also the movement as well, they kind of hop or skip, I don't know how you'd describe it, but that's
it's like a lope.
Yeah,
so it's like they bounce, they go along, so like it's like a big slinky.
Yeah.
So,
in terms of like population, you call them polecats, don't you, the wild ones?
The wild ones.
Are they depleting, or what's happening in terms of population, do you know?
No, the population is increasing. Up until around about 1850, they were persecuted almost to extinction. And then in 1870, they made it law by the Houses of Parliament that you can't hunt, trap, shoot, poison a wild polecat. And that law still stands. And at that time, there were only two populations, one in Aberdovey, one in Aberystwyth, which is right on the west coast of Wales. And that was all that was left in the whole country. Prior to that, in the Middle Ages, they were all the way through the whole of Great Britain. And slowly they're moving back. So now they're all in the west side of the country, but we still haven't got them in Lincolnshire and the Fens and things like that. They've not quite reached there yet.
We did have ferret roulette at the Lincolnshire show this year, of course, which was an extraordinary sort of experience. Always tempted to actually break into the Seven Brides or Seven Brothers. I'm a lonesome polecat there, but I don't think I will, really, because no, man.
Yeah, what are they? I don't know. Are they a mammal? Are they a rodent?
No, they are a mammal. They're a member of the mustelid family. And in this country, we've got from weasels, which are the smallest ones, right the way through to badgers. They're all part of the mustelid family. But it's a very, very ancient family. And it's been in the world. We think it dates back to some fossils that were found 200 million years. It was part mammal, part reptile. And the bone structure is very similar. And they don't have an appendix. They're missing. It's a very ancient breed of animal, but it's a carnivore. It eats meat. They are all carnivores. As I say, you go right the way up in North America to a wolverine, and a wolverine hunts moose. So you can imagine.
A key member of the X-Men as well.
No, he wasn't an X-Men. Same sort of thing, though. Same sort of thing.
I mean, there's a lot of jokes about it, isn't there?
I'll
learn the smell. There's the classic one with Richard Wiley with his one on his finger.
That's right.
It won't bite.
No. What I loved was the man who owned the ferret said, "Oh, he's only playing." That ferret was not playing.
Let go.
Yeah. But that is the one thing about ferrets. I mean, that's it's not a bad side. They will bite you, but they will only bite you once. So they're never going to chew your hand or rip your hand apart. They will bite you once and lock on. So it hurts, but apart from sort of like four puncture wounds, it's doing you no damage at all.
So Sue, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Well, apart from the fact that depending on whether you get a boy or a girl, they smell. And yes, they do bite if you stick your finger in. They're not used to being handled or trained. I mean, clearly I can see that the way you handled yours, that they are used to being handled. But I note that on your display, even you say, please keep your fingers out of the cages because a ferret can't tell the difference between a treat and a finger. I'm just not willing to test the theory.
Top tips for ferrets.
Yes. So, no, it's a top tip. Yeah. If anybody listening should end up with a ferret, on the end of their finger. How do you get? How do you remove a ferret?
Remember, it has got short legs. If you are holding it in the air, it will not let go. Get it on the floor. Okay. Normally, once you get it on the floor and it's safe, it'll. You have to take the pain, but he just goes and leaves you alone. And it's only a brief few seconds. But most people, when they get bitten, are waving the thing around in the air. And I mean, if you were only sort of like 1 foot long, would you want to be dropped 6 feet? So, and that's why they hang on.
So get it down on the ground.
Get it ground on the ground, yes. Yeah.
Keep it grounded. Again, an absolute delight. We'll take some photos now. And Ferret World, of course, the Ferret Roadshow, ferretworld.co.uk is the go-to website. And well done once again.
Thank you very much.